Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm reading today chapter 18 from the book called The Good Humor Guy by Randy Fischel. Kid-friendly twists on timeless Bible truths. The title of our chapter is Lover Boy Meets His Doom. So will you do it? I pleaded with my buddy Tom. We were between classes and time was short.
Why don't you just do it yourself?
Just because, I responded.
Oh, that explains it. Why didn't you say so before?
Tom was in prize-winning sarcastic form. Look, I said, it's not like I can just stroll up to Sonia and say, hey, baby, I am crazy in love with you and wonder if you want to have the wedding this Sunday or next.
Come on, just help me out here, okay?
Oh, whatever,
Tom mumbled with a sigh of resignation. He always did that whenever he was thinking of resigning as my best friend. I hated that thought because I liked hanging out with this part Blackfoot Native American. Sharing the occasional sandwich with him didn't exactly make up for stealing his country, but it was the best this seventh grader could do.
So let's get this straight, my friend said. I'm supposed to tell Heather to tell Sonia that you're the one who's been going gaga over her. Is that right?
No, no, I cried. Just tell Heather to bring Sonia to the English classroom door right after class. Then Heather can just point to me and say to Sonia, that's the one.
Ah, and your stunning good looks and captivating wit will take over from there.
If it weren't for the fact that Tom's biceps were a constant reminder of his ability to quickly flatten me, I would have formulated an appropriate response to his prize-winning sarcasm.
So why don't you just skip the middle person and go right to Sonia?
It's more romantic this way, I explained. Tom knew I was actually a freeze-dried, fear-mongering person, but he didn't say anything. Pring! The between-class bell sounded loud and clear. The fateful moment had arrived. For the first time, Sonia would learn the true identity of her secret lover. Exiting the English classroom, I spotted Heather whispering into Sonia's ear. Heather pointed in my direction, and I smiled. A weird look crossed Sonia's face. I smiled again. Sonia screamed, quite loud, actually. The events of the next few moments are foggy, but I've tried really hard to forget them. I do remember seeing Sonia flee in the opposite direction at somewhere around warp speed. It may have been that there was a tarantula on my head, but I doubted it.
So I guess this means the wedding is off,
Tom wisecracked later that afternoon. Someday she'll regret missing her chance, I commented, searching for fragments of my busted ego.
Well, there's a piece of your ego over there in the drinking fountain, Tom said.
Bear Blackfoot Native Americans have eyes like eagles, Tom went on.
You know, you can always look at the bright side.
And that would be?
Well, I'm thinking.
And so was I. I was thinking of how grateful I was to have a friend like Tom, someone who didn't abandon me even when I did stupid things. Over the years, my buddy and I have had lots of adventures together, some of which would likely cause this book not to be published if I shared them with you, but other exploits reflected borderline valor, such as when we saw a guy chasing his runaway riding lawn tractor and dashed to the rescue. Nothing runs like a deer except a part Blackfoot Native American on a critical mission. But the one thing that really bonded Tom and me was our uncanny knack for getting our hearts broken. Some of us are just gifted that way. Tom's future included becoming fire chief for a small Michigan town, but most important to me is that he's still my friend. The Bible reminds us that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. It's good to have that kind of friend, especially when your heart gets broken or your house catches on fire. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hold up to you this day. I hold up to you those broken hearts. You are the mender of all broken hearts. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer, for being with us. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, today we're going to discuss fire. I love fire. And, you know, in the devotion that we read, Lover Boy Meets His Doom, well, his best friend ended up being a fire chief. And he concluded the devotion tying it in with fire. So I put in my site, I put fire chemistry, the chemistry behind fire. Of course, this is needs to have adult supervision and you need to really vet it out because there's so much to learn. And fire is a pretty interesting thing. It's a pretty interesting phenomena. And then I also put a video about... Actually, it's not a video about fire chemistry. That's a whole lesson. But I put a video about making 5 ways to make a survival fire. And this is not a bad thing to teach our young people because someday they might be in a situation where they need to make a survival fire. They need to make fire so that they can boil water and bugs if they have to eat bugs. They need to make a fire for warmth and they need the fire to scare away wild animals. So, these are very important life lessons, and there is a lot to learn about them. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. All week we've been looking at ways to help our children know that they are loved. And I began the week by sharing 2 stories in which I utterly failed. I failed my students, knowing that I love them, and I failed my children, knowing that I love them. And I love both the student and I loved the child so much. You know, I just loved them and adored them so much, but yet I had not been able to communicate that to them. And it's something that we can learn as parents. So today we're talking about providing genuine praise. And if you just go around praising them all the time, that it lessens it. If you don't praise them, they become starved for it and they might act out in negative ways just to get your attention because they haven't gotten your attention any other way. So you have to find that balance. That is the genuine praise. It's a praise for not how they look. It's a praise for the quality of who they are. And sometimes it's not perfect. What they do in schoolwork isn't perfect, but can you find something? Did they label their paper? I mean, I will tell a student, when I grade your paper, it's so aesthetically pleasing that it gives me joy. Or I will say to a student, like I did just Friday, they have extra math study hall on Friday, which they're tired. They don't like to do. They'd rather do a relaxing time on my classroom couches. But I told them that I had this task for them to do, and they did it without any complaining. And I said, guys, I just so appreciate that you didn't complain about having to do this. I mean, they've complained a lot. Math tends to be the subject that many students like the least. And I get the brunt of their, I look at it more like they're frightened of the subject. But I get the brunt of it because they don't like the subject or they're afraid of the subject. So I try to find ways to genuinely praise them if they do a problem right. Yay! You did a great job on that. And algebra, algebra 2, and geometry, those are higher maths and they are hard. But even in in my elementary students, I try to find something to genuinely praise them about. Questions parents ask. Well, Mary's asking, is it ever too late to try to turn the boat around, referring to some bad habits in their family of negativity, grousing around, complaining about everything. It's never too late. It gets harder as the child gets older, but it's never too late. You know, we've come to the end of our show. I'm sorry to say I could talk a lot more on that. Maybe I'll pick it up at another show. We're going to finish our interview with Pastor Buddy, so I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. The noise was deafening, the lights so bright, everything felt strange. The cool air on my skin, the rough rubbing, then the pain, pricks that started in my feet and radiated through my body. What was that noise, that constant noise? I paused for a moment to catch my breath and realized the noise was coming from me. What am I doing here? Who am I? When will I ever wake up from this nightmare? My throat felt dry for the first time in my life, and yet I couldn't close my mouth because I couldn't stop crying. I so wanted to be back in the confines of my mother's womb. I cried louder, calling for the comfort of her muffled voice, but no response. If you'd like to read more, you need to pick up a book called Like a Little Child, The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers, written for the most part through the eyes of infants and toddlers. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Pastor Buddy Goodwin. And we talked about his military experience. You know, it's true, conscientious objectors are a thing of the past. And here you are, an exception to the rule. And you know, maybe those men that you talked to, maybe the opportunity never came again for them. You know, you just never know.
That's right.
So you're in the military, and now you're a pastor, so there's, I'm sure, some story in that. Were you already thinking of becoming a pastor at that point?
No.
So how is it?
No. Actually, my oldest brother, who was not an Adventist, he believed in God, but we had bonded pretty tight. And when I was in the military, and as I would travel from the different states to be assigned in different areas, wherever I was located and he was close enough that he and his family would come and they would spend time with us during his summer vacation. And so we would come together. And so I remember the time that I was stationed in Fort Lee, Virginia, and he brought his family, and I think it was around the 4th of July time frame. And so we were walking from where we had parked our cars on the military base down to where they were going to do fireworks. And so as we were walking with all of us, a big group of us together, you know, and so he said to my wife, he said, I don't know why Buddy is, you know, just joking around. You know, he needs to be a pastor. And so I said to him, how do you know? You're not following the Lord. How do you know about me, you know? And so he said, that's what you got to do, you know? And so I just kind of played it off. went on. And so as I was completing my education, that because he said that, but sometime prior to that and afterward, the Lord had said, you know, there's a job for you to do, and I'm calling you to do this job as a pastor. And I said to the Lord, because I didn't know any better, I said, not me. That is a very important job, and I am not qualified to do that. You need somebody better than me. And I said, Lord, I can talk to people for you. I will be happy to do one-on-one and tell people about you, but to be a pastor is not what I can do. And so as I was finishing, I finished the military, got out, went to finish up my college degree, and I said it was in a little place called Clarksville, Tennessee. And so it was right outside of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my degree in agricultural science, okay? Because I believe that I can talk to people one-on-one, telling them about nature and talking them about you. And so I was 2 weeks away from graduation. I had already talked to my professor, had already lined up a job with the Tennessee Extension University, because the gentleman I spoke to, he was going to retire in 2 weeks. I was going to finish school and walk right into his job. Right there. No problem. Everything is set. Had already gone to Alabama A&M, had already set up to do my master's in botany. Everything was laid out. Within 2 weeks' time, this gentleman retired. They closed the office. They closed that branch of the area up. And
you're sitting there.
Yes, I'm sitting there and saying, wait a minute, Lord. That was all set. Didn't you have all of those doors open? Wasn't that right?
No. No.
2 weeks later, I got a call from a friend of ours at Pine Forge Academy in Pennsylvania. And she said, I know that you graduated with a degree in agriculture science. I said, yes. She said, we have a huge apple orchard. Why don't you just come and tell us what we can do to make it produce better? I said, okay, not a problem. I can do that, you know, not a problem. So family and I went, talked to them, and we went back to Tennessee. And I said, okay, I have to find a job someplace else now, okay? Week later, same school, Pine Forge Academy, called and said, we want to talk to you. Okay, about? We want you to be a dean of boys. No way. No way. I am not doing that. Okay? Not doing that. Thank you for the call. I'm not doing that. So my wife said, what are you talking about? I said, yes, the school called me and they want me to come and be a dean of boys. I said, don't you understand? Those guys are 13 to 17 years old. That's not something I want to do, okay? She said, but think about it. Maybe the Lord is calling you to do this. Yeah, but I don't want to do that, okay? So as she talked to me and I listened, and I prayed, and so I wind up back at Pine Forge doing an interview. And so when I did the interview, they said, okay, we'll let you know. And so as I walk out of the place and got back to my car, they called me and said, you got a job. Ha ha, Lord, I don't want to do this. Okay. So we packed up, moved to Pine Forge, okay, and I learned to love doing what I did. I was assistant dean for 1 year and the head dean for 4 years at Pine Forge Academy. in my fourth year there, I was talking to Chaplain Anderson, and he was, Chaplain Adams. He was a chaplain in the area. And I said, I'm looking for a way to be able to get closer to the guys, to be able to listen to them appropriately and talk to them. And he said, if you go to take some classes in chaplaincy, it just teach you how to listen and be more receptive and things of that nature. So I said, okay. So I went to the Reading Hospital, took a course, chaplaincy course. And once I finished that course, I had to go to Southern to do some summer classes. And so the guy at Southern, they gave all of these pastoral classes. Why am I taking pastoral classes? Okay. Well, these classes that will help you, to be better equipped. And so I took these classes, all right, came back, and then I got a call from the chaplain at Reading Hospital. And he said, I think you need to go down to and do our CPE course. I said, so what is that? He said, the CPE course is a year-long course. Because I was coming out of being a dean then. Because I just said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to move on. And so he said, I think you need to go take that course. And so I went for the CPE course and spent a year in the CPE course full time as a chaplain. And during the summertime, I would take online courses for pastoring. And so as I completed that, the pastor of the small church there in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, he said, I need some help. Okay, what you need help in? He says, I have a little church here that I need someone to help me with. And so I went and talked to them. And so I began to help them as I was chaplain in the hospital. And so they said, well, why don't you just come over to us all the time and just be our pastor here? Okay, I'll help you do that, And I'm saying, okay, Lord, you just kind of got over on me with that one. But I tell people now is that I wouldn't trade this mission for anything.
Amen.
Trade it for anything. I love what I do talking to people. For God.
We have been talking to Pastor Buddy Goodwin, and he has told us his journey from the military all the way to his pastoral. I'm sure there's lots more to say, and I hope that we can connect again, but we've run out of our time here. Thank you so much. I have one last thing to say. That is God bless.
Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.